Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning,
Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7. The Game.
Well, it looks like we got to at least wait one more game until the Giannis Antetokounmpo offseason truly begins. Stephen Langford did on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. You may be wondering yourself, wow, Stephen, in at 5 a.m., on a holiday. Well, guess what? We're live and local on 95.7 The Game all day today. Coming up, Coz Lowe and Ryan Covey are going to be taking over at 6 o'clock. But we had a lot happen over the weekend. And today, going to talk a little football because the 53-man rosters were put out. And coming up in the next segment, I'm going to talk about the Raiders 53-man because I know there are some Raider fans still out here in the Bay Area. And if you are if you're one of those Raider fans and you're listening to this right now, and you are one of those guys or gals who just said, look, I've already been through this team leaving once again. I've already been through this team leaving me for LA. They left me for Vegas again. I'm done paying attention to this team. And you're looking at every move that they do. Every game, you're kind of hate watching it, right? Because you're salty that they went to Vegas, which is fine, totally fine. I know a lot of people like that, but if you are one of those fans and you haven't heard about the trade that happened over the weekend with John Gruden, Mike Mayock, and the Raiders, wait till you hear this one because you might like it if you are one of those types of Raider fans who just do not want anything good to happen when they're in Vegas. We also got the 49ers 53-man roster as well. And I kind of want to go over, since the NFL season is starting back up this week, which is insane, I am going to go through kind of my top fives through the week. And today, just the top five teams that I'm most looking forward to watching this year. And I'm not really just saying looking forward to as in, oh, I think they're going to be good. I'm looking forward to watching them. It's more along the lines of, oh, this team could be different this year than we've seen in years past. I'm actually looking forward to watching them to see how it all breaks down. So that's coming up a little later on in the show today. And a little bit of baseball talk, a little basketball talk. We're going all over the place on this Labor Day today. But I did want to start off with a couple of things. This is way off the beaten sports path here. Okay, if you are tuned into the pregame show and the first segment from 5 to 5:13, and you are tuned in so you could hear a little bit about Bay Area sports, put that on the back burner for a bit. Put it in your back pocket, because you're going to hear about that for the rest of the show. But I did want to start off with a couple of things that happened over the weekend. One being in Formula One. And this is pretty cool because Lewis Hamilton, you've probably heard of him. He's the most popular Formula One driver out there. And the reason that he is because he drives for the best team and he essentially wins almost every race, it feels like. It's always Lewis Hamilton, then the field. Well, Lewis Hamilton, I don't want to get into the minutiae of it, but essentially he got a 10-second penalty because he went to the pit lane when the pit lane was closed. The pit lane was closed for a variety of reasons, but all you got to know is that he went into the pit lane when he wasn't supposed to, got a 10-second penalty, and that shook everything up. And a guy by the name of Pierre Gasly won his first Formula One Grand Prix in Italy, and I just want you to take a listen to the sound of Pierre Gasly afterwards. He's this young French driver, and when these guys go into Formula One, if they get a win, that's huge, because not every driver gets a win in their career. So to even get one, no matter what happens, is gigantic. And when Pierre Gasly, who drives for AlphaTauri, which is Red Bull's second team, this is the type of reaction you're going to get.
Oh my God! What did you do?
What did you do?
You don't have to wait! You're bad! Oh my God! Oh my God, guys, we did it again! Oh my God, yes!
For the chilled auto body text line, 888-957-9570. For the 510, this is Paul in Fremont. Shout out to my hometown, Fremont. You are a special kind of stupid. Nice to have you on this holiday in here, Paul. Welcome in. That sound courtesy of ESPN, by the way. Pretty cool seeing him win that Formula One Grand Prix and just seeing how young he is, getting his first ever victory. I thought it was pretty awesome. Something not so awesome that happened was what went down with Novak Djokovic. He was in his fourth round match in the U.S. Open. Novak Djokovic, the number one seed, the heavy favorite to win the entire thing, gets upset. And he hits the ball back to the ball boy or the ball lady, and he hits it way too hard, and it hits her in the neck, and you'll hear her reaction here in this sound clip. But this is what happened.
Game, Karen, you're beside
me. He's walking.
He's walking away. Doesn't even look. So he's clearly not looking at her with any intention to hit her. He's still looking to the side when he hits it, but hitting it hard towards the back fence. There's lines people and ball kids back there.
And then a long, 10-15 minute discussion with Novak. I'm not sure, as I think you, Darren, said, what there was to discuss. The facts were pretty clear.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult for the referees to make that decision because they have to go on what the umpire is saying and what the people around are saying, and there's no video for them to go back and have a look at. And maybe it would be. I'm not really sure if the video would help Novak or not help Novak, because I think it was pretty clear.
Yeah.
And I think the referee did the right decision. It's a tough one, a heck of a tough decision, considering what the US Open has gone through to put this event on, considering the number one player in the world, Novak, made the commitment to come over here to play the Western and Southern.
And that was courtesy of ESPN. He was defaulted, and he is out of the U.S. Open. So that's what happened with Novak Djokovic. Makes a mistake, and some people are mad about it. And I called him Djokovic just now. Some people are mad about it. And really, this has happened before. There is a precedence for this, believe it or not. So he is defaulted out of the U.S. Open. The number one guy, Novak Djokovic, expected to win it all, gone. So that's what happened this weekend outside of the Bay Area. But within the Bay Area, for one, we had that start on Saturday from Madison Bumgarner against the Giants. And that was odd. Just seeing him not in a Giants uniform at Oracle Park. But I do want to point something out. Afterwards, when he spoke after the game, he didn't really have too much of a reaction when he was asked about pitching again at Oracle Park. He really just said that, you know, it was just nice to be back onto the mound after being on the IL. I'm just happy to be pitching again. You know, it was cool. It was cool going down memory lane beforehand, but after the game, it was more just, I'm happy to be back out on a pitching mound. Doesn't matter which mound it is. And it always reminds us that, you know, even if Madison Bumgarner doing what he did in 2010, 2012, and 2014, and the 2016 wildcard game at that, no matter what he did, you expect him to have some sort of affinity for San Francisco. But after all, it's not like these places are their hometowns. They understand that it's a business. And when they move on, you know, these athletes, they're pros. They just move on. And it's been so long, really, since he's been away from San Francisco and away from Oracle Park. I think if you were to, say, oppose this to him starting at the beginning of the season at Oracle Park, as opposed to in the middle toward the end of the season, we might be looking at this a little differently. But since the season's already started and he's pitched in another place already over with the Diamondbacks, right now it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just happy to be back out on a mound. It doesn't matter where it is. I'm just happy to be back pitching. It was just interesting to see him back out there and, you know, pitching against Brandon Belter a couple of times where he threw inside on him. I thought, something there. But no, the pitches just got away from him. And, you know, that's what happens. But it was cool just seeing Madison Bumgarner pitch against his former team. Do wish we would have gotten the Bumgarner versus Posey pitching matchup. By the way, I think they made a mistake in doing this, and this was what I was saying when I was on with John Dickinson on Saturday from 10 to 2. I was saying that they should have put Bumgarner at the DH spot just to show him the respect. I thought the Diamondbacks manager, Lavulo, I thought he should have put Madison Bumgarner at DH, let him hit at Oracle Park the one time that he's going to start. Very interesting that to see what's going to happen also with fans coming back next year. It'll be different. It'll be different for sure. But yesterday we did see a Giants and Diamondbacks game where Johnny Cueto in the pregame was not happy with the warm-up music. He said he was falling asleep to it. Go check out the video. But they were playing, I think, some Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin. And he waved up to whoever was playing the music and he said, "Hey, this is making me fall asleep." I'm like, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, but I could understand that. It's pregame. You're trying to get ready for a start. I don't know if Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin are going to get you pumped up. But anyway, that's what happened with Johnny Cueto, and he went 5 2/3 innings, had 7 Ks, had a really good outing. But the Giants were able to do it with the long ball, and it started with Chadwick Tromp.
Tromp, it's a high fly ball to left. On the move is Peralta. Out of here. It's been a while for Chadwick Tromp. He came into that at bat 2 for his last 29. How do you do?
Credit NBC Sports Bay Area with the audio. And you heard it there first, 2 for 29. So Chadwick Tromp hadn't exactly been on a heater. But you move on to another guy named Donovan Solano, who's hitting north of 330 right now. Had a couple of home runs going into this game. He was already 2 for 2. Had a runner on base, and he did this.
Solano's 2 for 2. And he hits a high drive to left. Peralta back! Out of here! And with one swing of the bat, the Giants take the lead. Home run number 3.
Again, credit NBC Sports Bay Area with that audio. And, you know, if there were an all-star game for this season, a short, truncated season, and you're halfway through it, I mean, you're already less than like 3 weeks away from the start of playoffs. I mean, we're in September. It's already September 7th, which is crazy. But Donovan Solano, he'd be an all-star. He really would. He's hitting that well this year. He's hitting with so much consistency that I don't think anyone expected. It's been a lot of fun to watch. But there's one more guy. Now, he broke the... Now, Donovan Solano was the one who gave it a 3-2, who made the game 3-2. But Brandon Belt, quietly, has been one of the hotter hitters on this team.
Belt drives one to right. Hit well. It is out of here. And he's got himself a pinch hit home run.
Brandon Belt. And he was hitting 341 going into this weekend, already with five home runs on the year. He's seeing the ball so well right now. And we say what we want about Brandon Belt and the contract's not worth it, blah, blah, blah. But one thing that is true is that he is hot in the batter's box right now, and you can't take that away from him. You know, if on Friday night, if Brandon Belt hadn't hit that solo home run to make it 6-5, then we wouldn't have been mad at Mauricio Dubon for that little base running blunder at second base when they had the bases loaded and Steven Duggar faked going home on a Cole Calhoun throw and Mauricio Dubon actually went from second, and then obviously he was called out at second and we know what happened from there. They lost the game. But Brandon Belt quietly been extremely hot at the plate. Really good. Really good stuff. So the Giants move on, winning 4-2. They're 20-21 on this season and remain within the playoff race because we do have an expanded format this year in Major League Baseball. Okay, coming up next, going to go through the Raiders 53-man roster, the 49ers 53-man roster, and the one trade that happened over the weekend for the Las Vegas Raiders, which makes you scratch your head a little bit and wonder what happened. And there is one tie to it, which I found to be the most kind of disappointing part in this entire saga. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning to everybody. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock this morning as we are live and local all day, folks. It is a holiday, but we are live and local for you. And good morning to everybody, except for Paul in Fremont, who's the only one to text the Chilled Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570. I'm not going to give you the benefit of reading that again, Paul. Not going to give you the benefit of that. Coming up later on in the show, going to give you my top five teams that I'm most excited to watch. And I'm not really talking about the ones like we already know about, the Chiefs, the Ravens, those kind of teams. I think these are the ones that I'm looking forward to that I think are going to make a jump this year, and really one where we're just uncertain of how they'll do. So the top five for me that I'm most interested to watch this year. But the Niners and Raiders 53-man rosters were announced over the weekend, and I'll get to the Raiders' initial 53-man here in a bit. But the one trade that the Raiders made, the Las Vegas Raiders, that is, was their draft pick from this year, third rounder, one who they took a chance on, who was known to be one of the more fun watches in the college football season and also one of the most versatile players that you can have. But third-round pick Lynn Bowden Jr. was traded to Miami for a six-rounder as well as the fourth-round pick. And they sent the six-rounder over along with Lynn Bowden Jr. for a fourth-rounder. But here's the kicker. They already traded that fourth-rounder to the Dolphins. So really, it's just a fourth-rounder that they're getting back. They just paid, essentially, for a third-round pick that just didn't even come to fruition. And here's the kicker about the entire thing. That fourth-round pick was acquired within the Khalil Mack trade. And Mike Mayock, you know what? The Raiders handled it, at least as far as press conferences go. It marks 1 year ago today where they released Antonio Brown. And we saw how they handled that within the media. But this one, it truly seems to be a football move. Nothing off the field. It purely had to do with the position, and he was put in a pretty tough spot coming onto this Raiders roster, and they took a chance with that third rounder, but they traded him away, got that fourth round pick back. Don't really know what that's worth, but Mike Mayock took the blame, and that's how you'd want the team to handle it. Just take the blame, move on. You know, it's just one loss, and it's a kind of an embarrassing trade because it's just confusing, and you wonder, you know, what John Gruden's reaction to it, to the entire thing was.
What the hell's going on, man?
Exactly. But they're 53, man. Here's how it's looking right now. Derek Carr, clearly the starter, with Marcus Mariota and Nathan Peterman as the backups. Now, Nathan Peterman, you know, he just manages to keep himself onto a roster. He's the third quarterback backing up there. And it's just interesting that they paid Marcus Mariota $7.5 million to be a backup. But there you go. That's how it's looking with the quarterbacks. That one, clearly obvious. You expect them to go with Derek Carr to be their starter. How long will he last to end of the season? People are giving it, you know, a total time of 5-6 weeks. But really, for me, Marcus Mariota, he's, you know, he's good. He's precise. He can run, and he's smart. But in the end, when he came over here from Oregon and transferred over to the NFL, they started using him under center. And at Oregon, he was using that spread offense. So it's just when you bring in a quarterback to do something completely different than he was doing in college, the Titans didn't exactly set him up for success. So if he is brought in as a backup, maybe we'll see if John Gruden uses him the way that he was used at Oregon and play to his strengths. But right now, Derek Carr is the quarterback of this team, and you are going to be seeing you know, he's called check down Charlie, quote unquote. But I think the thing that gets lost in all of that is it's just how John Gruden's offense is ran. You know, you like to run it up the gut with Josh Jacobs and then try and get short yardage plays that advance down the field with the pass, with the short intermediate passes. Go to guys like Darren Waller, go to guys like Hunter Renfro and Henry Ruggs, that first round pick. He's expected to go deep this year and be that kind of long ball threat and, you know, maybe turn into something like his comparisons in a Tyreek Hill. So that's interesting to see what's going on there. And with the running backs, Josh Jacobs, Alec Ingold, the fullback, who's really good, Jalen Richard, and Devontae Booker, who's an interesting one, because Devontae Booker was one of those guys that the Raiders could have drafted, but instead they opted to not go with Devontae Booker, and they picked up DeAndre Washington in that fifth round. And if I'm not mistaken, I think DeAndre Washington was released from his respective team. When I can't remember which team that exactly was, but Josh Jacobs, Alec Ingold, those are going to be your two main guys. At the wide receiver position, you got Henry Ruggs, Hunter Renfro, Nelson Aguilar, Brian Edwards, Zay Jones, and Rico Gafford. A lot of speed on this wide receiver core this year. Henry Ruggs being the primary guy, that first pick of the draft, first wide receiver taken in the draft. And Hunter Renfro, we know what he could do in the slot. Nelson Aguilar has had his issues when he started out with Philadelphia, started out mostly, you know, with the drops, and we had that hilarious sound played. Maybe I could get it for you next segment. We had that sound played where there was a guy talking about there was a fire in Philadelphia, and on the news, they were talking about throwing things out of the building to kind of save them from getting burned. And he said, at least Nelson Aguilar isn't down here catching these items. You know, he said something like that. But that, I mean, that was an interesting pickup for them. But a lot of speed on that side of the ball. And Zay Jones and Rico Gafford, both fast guys. At the tight end position, you got Darren Waller, Jason Witten, Foster Moreau, and Derek Carrier. Foster Moreau, really good late round draft pick. All, you know, he can catch passes. He's a good, he's pretty much a good, how do I put it? Secondary option, because Darren Waller is obviously that first go-to man, but Foster Moreau is a guy that no one really pays attention to. And when you're in the red zone, you could use him, and also in third down situations, not everyone's going to be paying attention to Foster Moreau. And he showed a lot of ability. So they're pretty solid at the tight end position, but this is the one where in the past decade, they've always been solid. The offensive line. You know, they've had one of the, like, regardless of what you think, in the last half of this 2010 decade, they've been very solid on the offensive line. Colton Miller at the left side, Richie Incognito, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Trent Brown, and Gabe Jackson, by the way, not healthy last season. So he's playing for that money this year. So very interested to see how that goes. And then you got Trent Brown, who's one of the best right tackles in the game. Denzel Good, Andre James, John Simpson, and Brandon Parker
are the backups. On the defensive line, you got Max Crosby, who's the number one guy, Jonathan Hankins, Malik Collins, and Cleland Furl. Cleland Furl, who you're hoping can take that next step. Carl Nassib, who's 6'7", and you may know him. He became popular because of Brown's Hard Knocks, and he was teaching all the guys economics and how to take care of your contracts and investments and all that stuff. So that's where he was made popular. But that was a pretty good pickup for them. Mo Hurst, Daniel Ross, Arden Key, who he can close around the edge, but his problem has been finishing. If he can finish, then Arden Key could be very good, but still waiting for him to kind of break out. And Kendall Vickers as well, who played in the Canadian Football League last year. At the linebacker position, you got Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Raekwon McMillan, Nicholas Moreau, and Tanner Muse. Tanner Muse expected to be the special teams guy. Corey Littleton, their big free agency pickup there. They paid him $36 million over 3 years, and he was very good on the Rams. Looking forward to watching that pick. And Nick Kwiatkowski, who was on the Bears last season, and he's going to be their signal caller. He's going to be wearing the green dot for the linebackers. And then on the quarterback side, they got Trayvon Mullen, first-round pick Damon Arnett, LaMarcus Joyner, Amik Robertson, Isaiah Johnson, and Keyshawn Nixon. So that secondary is the one that's always the question. We've always looked at the Raiders' offense and judged their games based on the offense and what Derek Carr is doing, John Gruden making all the play calls. But it's their defense which has been the issue for the past 20 years. For the past 20 years, they haven't really had a good defense. Seeing if they can make that next jump with that secondary. And the safeties for this year are Jonathan Abram, Eric Harris, Jeff Heath, and Dolan Leavitt. And Eric Harris is a guy that, not many expected much from, but John Gruden really likes him, calls him underrated, and he's going to be the main guy along with Jonathan Abram. And you're going to have LaMarcus Joyner, who might play a little bit of safety and a lot of nickel corner as well. So that's the 53-man for the Raiders. Just listed off a bunch of names. They should be mostly familiar to you if you're a Raider fan. You got a lot of the same team except for what's going on within that linebacker core with Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski. Coming up next, I'll go through the 49ers 53-man and the five teams that I'm most looking forward to watching in the NFL this year. Not necessarily the teams that are the most talented or the most skilled, like the Ravens or the Chiefs. Those are the obvious choices, but ones that are kind of on the back burner and no one's really talking about. So I'm interested. I'll get to the top five of those next. 888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation, who are you looking forward to watching this year the most besides, you know, say like a team like the 49ers or the Raiders or any of those guys? Which is an underrated team to you that you're looking forward to watching? Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
This is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Friday night. It is Monday morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining me on this holiday. And we are live and local on 95.7 The Game all day today. So we are here for you. Of course, you can download the radio.com app. Use the rewind feature to listen to anything 24 hours beforehand. Very easy to navigate. Highly recommend you do so. And you can favorite 95.7 The Game while you are at it. The text line isn't exactly jumping this morning because it is early. One text I got here was at about 5:03 from the 510 from Paul in Fremont. You know what? I will give you the benefit, Paul. I'll read this one more time. You are a special kind of stupid. I was 3 minutes into the show. Oh, man. You are a special person, Paul. Thank you so much for listening. Text in anything you want to today. It's kind of an open book. I'm going to come up here with my top five teams that I'm most looking forward to watching this year. And I'm not really talking necessarily about I'm excited to watch Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, or excited to see if the Chiefs can get back to the promised land. I'm not really any of that. Not so much that. It's more so much these teams that I think no one's really paying attention to, or ones that I think at least they could make a jump. And, it's just crazy that football's even starting. having fantasy drafts, being confused by the dates. I mentioned this last week. I constantly forget which days I'm drafting because there's nothing more annoying to me than the one text you get from the commissioner, and it's a group text, and it says, "What time is everyone free?" Now, feel free to text in 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Autobody text line, or you can call in as well if this is something that affects you too, but this is something that gets me every year. I'm in three different leagues, right? So whenever I get that one group text with the entire league in it that says, "Hey guys, football season coming up, what time and date do you want to do the draft?" And everybody starts saying when they're free, all these different times, I instantly put that group chat on. I put the hide alerts on there, so I get the little moon next to the text message thread to put it on silent. I like doing that. And I just say instantly, put me down for any date and time. Just don't make it after 8 p.m. because you know I got to wake up early to do the pregame show. Other than that, anytime other than that, you can make the draft. And I always do that and just end up not looking at the thread. And then all of a sudden on my email, I say that I got a draft coming up at 3:30 today. Oh, not really ready for that one. But you know what? I'm a pro at this point. I'm a pro fantasy football player. I mean, I came in like fifth at best in one of my three leagues last year, but I'm a pro. I'm an absolute pro. I'm really at the point now where I just don't even know whether my fantasy football team's good or not. I think I got a good team. I got Deshaun Watson. I got Saquon Barkley. I got Kenyon Drake. I got Adam Thielen. I got Austin Hooper. I got the Bills defense. Who else am I forgetting there? We don't have any kickers this year, so I'm going without kicker. I don't know. I don't know whether my team's going to be good or not. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. I like them. Whatever. 888-957-9570 is a chill, not a body text line in the phone number. Before I get to these top five teams, there's something that I want to mention, and also the Niners 53-man roster, that'll be coming up as well. There's something I want to mention, and we saw yesterday the Heat and the Bucks. They went to overtime, and on the back of Chris Middleton, after Giannis Antetokounmpo went out in the second quarter with a rolled ankle, Chris Middleton took over. The Bucks were moving around. They looked like they were playing with pace, which we haven't really seen much. And they ended up winning in overtime. And the Heat mentioned after the game that, to be honest, once Giannis went out, they're up 3-0, they kind of relaxed. So the talks about Giannis and his offseason, they have to be put on standby for right now until the Heat actually win that series. But one thought that I have, and we talked about this last week, and me and JD, John Dickinson, we talked about it on Saturday from 10 to 2. And when I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about these trades for Giannis, we always talk about Draymond and Andrew Wiggins being the two pieces, along with, you know, the draft picks, whoever, the Minnesota protected next year, whether it's any of that, you know, just all the assets, right? Willing to give up whatever, but the two stars that you're putting in there, or the one player you're at least putting in there, is either Draymond or Wiggins. And I got to thinking, I don't know, there are going to be so many other offers on the table for Giannis after this year, because next year, or after next year, he's an unrestricted free agent. So he can go wherever he'd like. And the Bucks could end up paying him, or they could get a lot in return. Imagine the offers that they're going to be fielding for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And sure, their draft picks are more coveted, I'd say, than a lot of these other teams. So that could put them over the hump. But to me, it's hard to envision a scenario where Bob Myers, he calls the Bucks with an offer that includes Andrew Wiggins or Draymond, say, and he calls him with an offer and says, "Hey, we'll trade you one of these guys, plus we'll give you next year's pick, this year's pick, and then, hell, we'll give you some unprotected first for the next couple of years even." I mean, they're going to be, you're going to have to give up a heavy load for one of the best players in the NBA, if not the best player in the NBA. But it's hard to envision a scenario where Bob Myers calls, offers that, and they're saying, no, we don't want Draymond or Andrew Wiggins. We want Klay Thompson. We want the shooter on this team. We understand. We got Chris Middleton, sure, but we could figure it out as long as you give us Klay Thompson. Because we don't want, we need a guy who can be a number one, number two option at scoring. I don't know if Draymond and Andrew Wiggins can get, can give us that. We need Klay Thompson. In that case, I don't see the Warriors making that kind of move. And, you know, it's just hard to envision that scenario where they'll just say, yeah, we'll take Wiggins or Draymond off your hands. I'm just really looking forward to the rumors. The rumors are always a lot of fun. Because there's just going to be reports out there which you don't know are real or fake, and it's going to end up like the baseball trade deadline. Hopefully it does, where they're saying, oh yeah, this team has interest. Just a vague statement. This team has been showing interest. We're not going to give you any details as to why, but this team has shown interest in trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Hopefully NBA insiders take a little page out of the NBA or the MLB insiders books for that one. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. And give me the teams, kind of sleeper teams that you're most looking forward to watching this season. I'm going to give you my five, and every day going to give you a kind of top, I'm kind of going get up on you, but I'm going to give you a little top five of whatever throughout the week. Find out tomorrow what the next top five will be. But to me, right now is the top five sleeper teams who you're most looking forward to watching. I got a few listed here, and from the 650, I'm a Niner fan, but the Raiders look good. They are a sleeper team. I just went through the Raiders 53-man roster, and you know, if you paid attention to them last season, a majority of their team is still the same. It just seemed like they upgraded. It's a wait-and-see situation with the linebacker core because they haven't had a solid linebacker core in a very, very long time. And they're hoping to solidify that with Nick Kwiatkowski from the Bears to be that that signal caller, along with Corey Littleton, who is the big free agent pickup that is one of the speediest linebackers in the game, who analysts loved, by the way. They loved that pick. They loved it. But I want to know from you, 888-957-9570, sleeper teams that you're most looking forward to watching this year. And so for the 49ers, their roster looks relatively the same right now. They're 53-man. We still have yet to hear word on Fred Warner because we just don't know. He's on the COVID reserve list. They're not allowed to disclose any of the information, whether he had contact with somebody or whether he actually has it himself. We don't know that information, so we're still waiting to hear word on Fred Warner. But for right now, quarterbacks, obvious. Jimmy Garoppolo, C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullins. Take your pick. Three quarterbacks that you've been riding with for the past couple of years. We know that. At the running back position, they've stuck with four main guys: Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Jerick McKinnon, and Jeff Wilson Jr. Jamichael Hasty was the one rookie that everyone was looking forward to. And, you know, when I saw Jamichael Hasty get waived, and I believe they signed him to the practice squad, when I saw that, I was thinking, you know, that might have been him and Juwan Jennings both. I'll get to the wide receivers in a second. But Jamichael Hasty, he was the one guy I feel like 49er fans would have been paying attention to the most in preseason. You know, weeks one through four, starters, might watch them in week three. But their core is so solidified that the only one we'd be paying attention to would be the interior of the offensive line. But other than that, they know who they are. So I wouldn't have envisioned them to play everyone in week three as much as a lot of other teams do to see what they got. Maybe for the half at most. But other than that, I wouldn't have expected much. But I feel like Jamichael Hasty is the one guy everyone would have been paying attention to. And who knows, if there was a preseason this year and you had these 4 weeks, as fans, we don't like watching it. Right, I've been on record saying I'm fine if there's no preseason games. I'm good with that. But also, it makes you realize that, well, those games are for these young, undrafted rookies, late rounders, to play for their NFL lives. And it is kind of cool to witness on TV. And, you know, I don't know how long they're going to make the preseason going forward, but I feel like Jamichael Hasty is one of those guys that you would have fallen in love with. You know, one of those late rounders. It always happens in, like, Hard Knocks, right? You always have that seventh rounder, that sixth rounder, that undrafted rookie who is trying to make the squad, and you like his personality and everything. I don't know. I feel like Jamichael Hasty could have been one of those guys. But again, Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Jerick McKinnon, Jeff Wilson Jr., Jerick McKinnon, the one guy that a lot of people are paying attention to because he's finally healthy. 2 years since he's been on this field. They gave him the big contract. Hasn't really shown if he's worth that contract yet. How's Jerick McKinnon going to do? Is he going to be passing or catching passes out of the backfield? Are Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman going to be a 1A and 1B? Is Raheem Mostert going to be the 1 and Tevin Coleman and McKinnon going to be the 2A, 2B? How's that all going to work out? I just lost my voice there for a second. Excuse me. Kyle Juszczyk is the fullback, and they count under the umbrella of running back, so they have a five total this year on their 53-man. At wide receiver, you got Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, and Richie James. The rookie Juwan Jennings getting waived. That was the one guy that also I think they would have loved if preseason was going around, because they would have had a heavy focus on him. Interested to see Deebo Samuel taken off the non-football injury list. Look, when I heard David Chow on the morning show, I always go back to this. As soon as the injury happened, we brought on Dr. David Chow, pro football doctor. He was the team doctor for Lo Neal when Lo played with the Chargers. Been around forever. And he said that Deebo Samuel's injury is the type of injury you do not want to rush. It's the type of injury where if you bring him back right away, he's not necessarily going to be 100%. And John Lynch has actually given some news. They will be having a quote-unquote doctor summit tomorrow to determine how much they'll be able to play him in week one, whether they're going to be slow playing him or legit putting him out there as a wide receiver one on the first snap. So we really have to wait till tomorrow to evaluate what Deebo Samuel is going to do. But pretty surprised to see him there. I thought he maybe would be back week four, week five even, but he's going to be back on week one, or he's at least eligible to play. Will they slow play him back? That remains to be seen. Brandon Ayuk got a lot of expectation because he is a wide receiver after all. And if Deebo Samuel doesn't start in week one, Brandon Ayuk's going to be your number one guy. You know, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, and Richie James, they're all good for third down plays, and Richie James is going to be more of a special teamer. But Brandon Ayuk is going to be that guy, so all eyes are going to be on him whenever they're passing the football, which I don't really anticipate them doing much of when they're playing the Arizona Cardinals, and the Arizona Cardinals have a very good pass rush. But that remains to be seen what Brandon Ayuk can do. Trent Taylor, looking forward to seeing him back on the field. Jimmy Garoppolo's supposed favorite target last season or before last season, and he had that mysterious foot injury, which kept on lingering. And then you got Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, who's having a resurgence. Looking forward to watching him this year because I feel like everyone kind of just stopped believing in him after a pretty disappointing second season where he wasn't in shape at camp. So those are the wide receivers. Again, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, and Richie James. At the tight end position, obvious, George Kittle, Jordan Reed, Charlie Warner, Ross Dwelly. Very deep at that position, as long as Jordan Reed can stay healthy. And when Jordan Reed's not playing every single snap and being the number one receiving option, which he was in Washington for a time, I don't know. Maybe that'll alleviate some of the injury scare, at least with Jordan Reed, because he has been hurt and hasn't played a full season. And George Kittle, we know George Kittle. At offensive tackle, you got Trent Williams, Mike McGlinchey, and Justin School. They're pretty solidified there, and Justin School has proven that he can be a serviceable backup whenever need be. This is the interesting one, though. Ben Garland at center, Laken Tomlinson, Daniel Brunskill, Tom Compton, and Colton Mikovits at the in the interior. And those are the guys where, you know, Weston Richburg, he's on the PUP list right now. Ben Garland expected to come in and be that center. He was a serviceable backup last year, but again, that interior, they run a majority of the time outside zones, so they don't always rely on the inside guys. But it just depends on how they work with the offensive line coach, whether they're in sync with the offense. That's what it's all about with Kyle Shanahan's offense is the interior. They don't have to have the most talented players, but as long as they execute together as a team and the communication's on point, then they'll survive at least. On the defensive line, you got Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, D Ford, Javon Kinlaw, DJ Jones, Kentavious Street, Kevin Givens, Kerry Hyder, Solomon Thomas. You like all those guys. But without DeForest Buckner, I think DeForest Buckner brought something that not a lot of players brought, which is taking up double teams, freeing up for one-on-ones with Nick Bosa and D Ford. So whether Javon Kinlaw can take his place is we don't know. DJ Jones, glad to have him back. Ronald Blair, unfortunately, not on this roster. And then Kentavious Street as well. He was on that that formidable defensive line along with Bradley Chubb. Over at, what was it, North Carolina State? And then at linebacker, you got Quan Alexander, Dre Greenlaw, Azeez Al-Shaair, Mark Nzacha, Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles. Flanagan-Fowles, the one that we haven't really seen much of, but we know that linebacking core there. At cornerback, Richard Sherman, Emmanuel Mosley, Akello Witherspoon, Jason Verrett, Kaywan Williams. We'll get more into that, but a little later on in the week as we preview what's to come with the Cardinals. But who's playing on the opposite side of Richard Sherman? How are they going to deploy it against the Arizona Cardinals, who are very speedy? Kyler Murray is going to be bouncing to the outside a lot, trying to make Hopkins move and make that secondary work, especially in that first game back without having any in-game experience. And then at safety, you got Jimmy Ward, Jaquaski Tartt, Tarvarius Moore, Marcel Harris. No changes there. Robbie Gould, Mitch Wishnowsky, Kyle Nelson. On the COVID-19 list is Fred Warner. And on the PUP, you got Weston Richburg, Ronald Blair, and Julian Taylor. So a lot of depth, a lot of familiar faces on this team. Very interested to see how they're going to do this year. And, you know, something interesting. On NFL.com, they did their predictions for the Super Bowl. How can you really predict a Super Bowl? I don't know. But only 3 of the 34 analysts or however many were doing it only had the Niners winning the Super Bowl, or at least the Niners in the Super Bowl. A lot of them are on the Chiefs again this year, which I just don't know if I could believe that. Okay, top 5 sleeper teams that I'm most looking forward to watching this year. There's a lot that I'm actually looking forward to, but here is my number 1. And this one isn't too, this one is kind of boring, but I really, now it's not going to be the Buccaneers, but on the other side, the New England Patriots. They have a very confident Cam Newton right now, and New England, to see if Bill Belichick or Tom Brady was the guy who was the straw that stirred the drink over there in New England. A lot say it was Tom Brady. A lot say it was Bill Belichick. I think that they're going to be breaking the tie on this one. And the Patriots, to me, I just feel like I don't know what they're going to be. And when you have Cam Newton, a healthy Cam Newton, along with a passing game that doesn't have many wide receivers, I just want to see if Bill Belichick can overcome this hump already, as he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. So the Patriots, to me, are the number one, which I'm flabbergasted as to how they'll do this year. Number 2 for me, this one's also kind of boring, but really interested to see what the Cleveland Browns are going to do with Kevin Stefanski as their head coach. Because Cleveland, we know what happened with them last season. Didn't work out with Freddie Kitchens. A lot of slander. We haven't seen Baker Mayfield talk too much this offseason. Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry are supposed to be the best wide receiver core in this league, and their defense is also supposed to be pretty good as well. Austin Hooper, they signed to the big contract at tight end. I'm actually really looking forward to what the Browns can do this year. And, you know, just for funsies, I might have, you know, bet a couple of shekels on them winning the AFC North just because it felt like there was really good value. They had the 3rd best odds to win that division, so I just put money on them anyway. But the Patriots, the Browns, and then also the Bills. The Bills are the one team because they just added Stephon Diggs, who I think can be a great addition to that team. And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, if they manage to create a good quarterback, one wide receiver, one connection, along with that defense, I think the Bills can win that division easily, and I think they could be in it for the AFC championship this year. I really do. I think they could be that good. So the Bills are up there for me. Number 4, this one, you might not like. It's the Minnesota Vikings, because Kirk Cousins, his one issue among many is him playing with away crowds and crowd noise. He's always complained about that after the games. Him playing without crowds, he's a very precise quarterback, incredibly precise. And when you don't have crowd noise in there taking up everything, that was a big issue in the playoffs last season when he was at home, or when the Niners were at home against him. He couldn't take the crowd noise. Kirk Cousins without crowd noise can be very good. And if Dalvin Cook stays healthy, man. And my number five team that I'm most looking forward to watching this year is who the Niners are playing week one. That's the Arizona Cardinals. They've had a revamped defense when they just drafted that first rounder. And adding DeAndre Hopkins, he's my favorite wide receiver in the league, along with Kyler Murray. I think they could be a very interesting team to keep an eye on this year as we pay attention to the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Rams. The Cardinals, they have the worst chance to win the division according to the betting odds, but I do think the Cardinals are going to be very interesting to watch this year. Okay, coming up, Coz Low and Ryan Covey. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I had a really fun show today. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 The Game. We're live and local all day on this Labor Day.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.